Welcome to the Creative Entrepreneur Show. Hey, this week, Brian, we have a guest. It is Mickey Kennedy, and he is the founder of eReleases, and it's a service that I've used. But most important, I want to hear from Mickey. Tell us about the service. Tell us what you're focusing on these days. I would like to hear, just to preface, I know you started way back in the day, about 1998, and I really, as someone who's has a journalism background, would love to hear your growth through the years and how you've adjusted to where we are now, even with, I'm sure people are submitting a lot of AI stuff too. So I know I gave you a big, long canvas there, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Right. So when I started 25 years ago, I was just a matchmaker, sending releases on behalf of clients to journalists that I had reached out to and had built a database. And over the years, PR Newswire reached out to us and said, you know, we should consider using their service. And I pointed out that my client base were small businesses and entrepreneurs, and they're charging like $1,600 to move a release nationally. Despite that, they wanted to support small businesses, and we were able to sort of find a way to work together. All of our releases do go out nationally through PR Newswire, probably a third of the price that you would pay going directly to them. Right. But some of the things that we do is we schedule for next business day because they have an overnight editorial team that's not very active. They have to be there in case there's breaking news or there's a recall or you have to get, some news out to Asia. But a lot of times they're just inactive. And so they're setting up our releases overnight. And so it's no additional labor costs for them. So we tried to make the relationship as much of a win-win as possible. And that really excites me, the ability of, leveraging a release and getting it on the wire, as well as some of the traditional email distribution that we're known for. And, what we recognize as media has shifted. Started over a decade ago with blogs, and today it's like, social media influencers, and it's really cool to see people using press releases in a lot of different ways. There's a TikTok I follow about new snacks that have come out that week, and they're all graphics and footage from B-roll and images and press releases, and there are people who are getting their news from different sources, and I like the fact that the PR community is adapting and accepting of all these different ways in which we're getting our news this day and age.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a big part of it. It has changed so much. Brian, you have something?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really exciting to have you here, Mickey, because our audience, we try to talk to the creative entrepreneur, so the people that are starting and creatively trying to grow their business. And the fact that you're offering a service that sometimes, it felt a little, pie in the sky, and it's more accessible now for them to use. So, it's really good. I would peeked at your website for a while before having you on here, and the information that you're able to share there at eReleases.com is really good, for being a small business owner. Myself, I'm very interested in your service now. So yeah. If you want to go, explain a little more just about the accessibility and that wall that was kind of built up to these small businesses.
Yeah. So, when I started, I saw that people were really struggling to get their news out. People had won national awards. People had things that were really important, major milestones, new product launches. Right. And they just, they were going to PR firms and just saying, I don't have $20,000 to $40,000 for a 1-year campaign. I just want to get a press release out about this new product that we have. And so when I started, there were no other players in the marketplace doing that. It's changed a little bit now. Big differentiator between us and everyone else is that, we are going over a traditional wire, and, the goal is to get earned media. And there's a lot of players out there who have sort of, they're not going to media at all. They're just like in a syndication play where they get your press release replicated on a bunch of websites, but no one's really reading those because those aren't, websites that have a lot of traffic. Or in the cases where they are websites you recognize, they're delegating those press releases to a section that most people don't even see. And right. So my push is to get people to really see the advantage of getting earned media. An article in the New York Times can get you way more customers and eyeballs and people than, 150 of these low-level syndication sites. And so right. That's the real value of trying to get, earned media. And, my job, seeing like 10,000 plus releases go out through us a year, is to try to get people to do more strategic types of press releases. We get product launch press releases quite common, but, people don't realize that journalists are storytellers.
Yeah.
And you just say, here's a new product, here's a list of features, and here's a page to go by. There's not a lot for a journalist to craft a story arc there. And right. So, I try to educate people that, hey, let's incorporate a use case study. A client who maybe had access to a beta version. This was the problem they had. This is the obstacle that was overcome using your product or service. Right. And here were the results. And here's a quote by them. All of a sudden, that gives a journalist a lot more information to sort of build out that story arc that they're used to writing. And I think so many people write a press release in the, this is what we want, without thinking about what a journalist needs. And so if you sort of reverse engineer what you're going to send out and keep the journalist in mind, you have a lot more likelihood that you will get picked up. Another common press release that we get is a personnel change.
Yeah.
And they're usually, if it's an industry veteran or a new CEO, yes, that's worthy of a press release. But a lot of these are just like, new associate VP in right. HR or something like that. And, for those, I don't know that spending your money to go over wire is the best use of your dollars. I think that you should be really doing more strategic types of press releases, ones that are really, have a more likelihood of getting picked up. So many people who do a new company press release really don't talk about their story, their journey. Mm-hmm. If you look at the people who appear on Shark Tank, the first thing they do is they share their story. And there's usually this authenticity that comes across. They may have been laid off or had a health problem or just an idea for a hobby. And they's like, I think maybe I could turn this into a business. And so that personal vulnerability, sometimes inspirational, sometimes, overcoming something, is part of that story arc the journalists like. So, I know that so many small businesses like to appear larger than they are. Right. They don't like to get personal. But being personal is a way to really cut through everything and bring that human interest element in. And I think mm-hmm. that people want to do business with people rather than just corporations and logos. And so I would really challenge people to, dig down, own your story, get that out there, make that part of your narrative. And, that's an element that you can do. Another thing that I've had work really well for people who just feel like, I've done a few releases, they've never worked for me. It's like, well, let's start with one that's never failed. And, that one is doing a survey in your industry. Journalists love data. They love numbers. New
statistics and stuff that you bring to the table. Yeah, that's great.
Right. So put together 16 great questions. Like if you were going to a conference or a trade show, what would you ask other people in your industry? Have you noticed that people are really slow paying right now? People that always paid on time are now dragging out 60, 90 days. Those are things that you could ask in a survey. You could ask, what spending looked like over the next 2 quarters for marketing. You could ask, are you having difficulty, establishing a culture post-pandemic? Are you still struggling to get people to go back into the office, or right. do you care about that? So if you ask really relevant, timely questions that are specific to right now, people want to know the answers. And so, mm-hmm. You put that in SurveyMonkey, 15 minutes at most, and then send it out to your industry. And the first pushback I get is, I don't know enough people in my industry to do a survey. There right. are so many independent and small trade associations in every industry. You yeah. probably belong to some of them. And if not, do a little research. You'd be surprised. I mean, I went through an exercise telling people about the PR world, and I was able to pull up over 400 of these trade associations that are just out there for all different types of fragmented groups. But there's also some that have decent sizes to them. The larger trade associations get a lot of media attention. They are harder to work with. But you know, if one has like 500 or more members, they're really a good candidate for this. Ask if they'll send it out to their members in exchange for you mentioning them in a press release you'll be issuing over the wire. Most of them see that as a huge win. They don't get a lot of media attention, and they'll gladly send it out. And generally, if you get 100, 150 or more responses, you're really good to go for most industry surveys. And you're going to look at the results, and you're going to figure out what are the biggest surprises here? What are the things that would probably be more interesting for the media? And I would focus the press release on 2 to maybe 4 of those questions and why the numbers skewed a particular way. You're now the expert. You get to have some amazing quotes analyzing, you know, why you felt that the numbers turned out that way. And then you send that to the media. The least I've ever seen that get is 4 earned media articles, but often as many as 8 to 14 earned media articles for doing a survey in your industry. And these aren't syndicated sites. These are actual original articles. I do recommend that you build out a page on your website where you put all of the responses to the questions, because sometimes journalists will go and look there and they'll flesh out a different story because maybe something's more relevant to them and they know something more. And I've had many times where we thought these 2 questions were the best for a press release. We send a press release out. They get an article that someone else fleshed out from that page. And we do a second press release focusing on that angle. And we get several more articles there as well. So it really can be a really great way to, establish you as an authority. All it takes is you doing it. You know, there's always people who have an imposter syndrome that we're not big enough or important enough to be recognized for doing a survey, but all it is you just going out there and doing it. Right. I have one client that represents lots of little verticals, and they do about 25 to 30 of these press releases a year, and they do them annually. And they've been doing it 3 to 4 years now. Every press release still gets 8 to 14 articles. People want to know the answers to these, and it really is a way to make you important and recognized, so that when you do subsequent press releases, they're more likely to pay attention.
Do you recommend that? I have 2 questions actually. One, do you recommend that people have media sections, press areas on their websites to host the stuff that after? Would you say before or after? 1, 2, maybe adding additional. I mean, this is kind of a self-answering type question, I guess. But anyway, you know, what are your thoughts about that? Have you offered any recommendations about that from the website after the press release?
I do think that people should have a newsroom on their website where they put their press releases, they put the pickup that happens. But I also recognize that a lot of my customers are small businesses and entrepreneurs. And, you know, that seems like an impossible task. Now I have to get someone to change the website and everything else. If you have a blog, at least put it there.
Sure.
It is great to have a news section on your website, because when people are bouncing around your website and doing research, it really, you know, they see several years worth of press releases and articles about you, they're immediately going to feel like, well, this is a legitimate company. I feel comfortable working with them. But it also, you know, shows that you're serious about your reputation and your brand, and that you're establishing yourself out there as an expert within your industry. Mm-hmm. And you take yourself very seriously. I, you know, recall once my daughter wanted something for Christmas. She sent me to a website. It looked like it was a 1990s website, but I noticed they had a newsroom and they had like 12 years of press releases. So I was like, okay, they're not fraudsters going to take my credit card and run with it. It really did, you know, for me, you know, made me feel like this is a reputable company. They need a refresh, but I felt a lot more comfortable. Another thing is, you know, a lot of my clients will talk about the conversion rates. Like they'll have an article and they'll say, we got like 200 visitors from this article, but it looks like 112 people bought. Is that possible to convert more than 50%? Well, the first thing I say is not everybody clicked on the link to your website. Yeah. And not always in an article is there a website, because they may not. But often the people who read about you and feel really good are going to want to then find you and do business with you. You know, I read a great article about a Kickstarter. First thing I'm doing is, you know, opening a browser, finding that Kickstarter and supporting it. I don't open another window and say, is there something similar I could get on Amazon cheaper? You know, I have invested in this company. I have this warm feeling about this company. That's who I want to support. And the same thing happens with earned media. And so, you know, when that happens, you get some of your best customers, because they're really usually not price sensitive. They have this feeling of warmth and loyalty, just, you know, right from the start, and they really develop into being great customers. But you can also take that link to that article and share it with your customers, share it with your leads. The same warm feeling that people have are going to make the people who are your existing customers feel comfortable that they're with the right vendor. And maybe they shop different vendors every couple of years to make sure they're working with the right one. Maybe this year they don't, because that article made them feel very comfortable they're working with the right company. You know, there's also people in your lead funnel that are not going to work with you. And it may be for some people, 80% of their leads never convert. But there's a certain number of them that got to like 49% of the way to work with you. And maybe reading that article and getting that warm feeling will get them to the 51%, you know, right over the hump to say, yeah, this is the company we should work with. And those are all really great things that media does that advertising doesn't. You know, when you put an ad in front of somebody, you're not ever going to get like 30, 40% to feel like, yeah, I want to go work with them. And I think what happens is, because when you get earned media, it comes across as a third party corroboration, almost like social proof. It's a huge credibility boost. It's almost like an implied endorsement when someone, a writer writes about you and plucks you out of everybody else in the industry and focuses on you.
Brian, do you have a question?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, on your website, it does, you know, I had some questions about how your company decides where these e-releases go. Because obviously, you know, if it's scaled down, it's not going to go to, you know, everyone in the whole world at the same time. So, you know, there, it looks like there's the National News Wire, which, you know, I heard you previously say the Wire. But then also it looks like you can target your industry or your trade. You can get on influencer lists. So, you know, very curious to hear a bit more about that.
Sure. So every release does go out nationally. And then within it, it gets targeted to specific industries that you get to select when you're ordering. We also have influencer lists, which are discrete email sends that happens on top of everything else to specific groups. And we sort of let the customer be in control of that. You know, we are available for coaching if you're not sure. I had one guy who had a golf product, and he really wanted to go to banking and finance, you know, because he felt like our customers are Wall Street type. And I'm just like, but the publications you're sending to are, they're being tagged as banking and finance related press releases, and they're going to see a mismatch here. Despite that, they did it, didn't do anything. And they didn't want to go to the golf list because it was like under 40 publications. They sent the release out a second time to the golf list. Three golf publications picked it up, and they sold over $250,000 worth of product. And so, you know, going to the largest list is not as important as going to the most appropriate list. And, you know, we do tell people to try, you know, to pick the lists that are most appropriate to you, most specific to you. You know, there's ways that we psych ourselves into doing things outside of that. And I think you do yourself a disservice. But, you know, the great thing about PR is it is trial and error. And sometimes you do play around and you do a release and it doesn't work. And you go back and you try something different, and you try a different hook, you try a different angle, and really try to find a way to stand out among so many people that are out there. You know, despite that, I find that some of our best clients are the ones that are constantly, you know, tweaking and changing. while also, you know, finding a niche. The client that does 20 to 30 survey press releases a year, it just works year after year. And people now expect their surveys coming out annually and look forward to it within all these little vertical niche industries. And so I had another client where they were able to analyze a blind spot in their industry where no one was talking about a certain subject that was really important to them. And they knew it was important to other people in the industry. So we did a press release on that. It was a local carpet company in New Jersey. You know, I can't think of a more non-newsworthy type of company. And they had signed up to do a press release a month. And I warned them that I didn't think that it was going to work. I couldn't think of anything that would really work. They didn't have major milestones. They weren't doing anything really different from other carpet installers. And at month five, I felt really bad taking their money, and we were brainstorming. And I asked them who their biggest enemy was, going through a list of things. And that question came up, and me expecting that it was like, oh, Todd across the street with his little carpet company. But it was the big box home improvement stores, you know, and they immediately went into how bad they are for the carpet industry and what an inferior experience people have. For example, they call off a licensing list of people who are licensed for home improvement in the state. They never ask, hey, have you installed carpet before? They just say, hey, we have a 11 a.m. tomorrow availability to install 1,200 feet of carpet. Are you available? And if you're a home, you know, improvement guy and you don't have work the next day, you're going to probably go to YouTube and try to figure out how to do carpet overnight. And that happens more times than not. And so they talked about going into homes many times, having to redo seams, restretch, you know, take it up and put proper padding down, all kinds of things that happen with the big box home improvement stores. So we did a press release on that. Every floor trade publication picked it up. Over a dozen. I didn't even realize there was that many. And we continued to work that angle for subsequent releases. And at the end of the year, they had over 30 clippings that they put together in what they called a brag book. Yep. And it included New Jersey Magazine and local newspaper, which was great, but also included like 20-some clips from these trade publications, of which none of their customers read. But they take that brag book into homes when they give a quote, and they open it up and show, hey, we've been picked up by Floor Trade Weekly. We've been picked up by this place. And we may come in 10% more than everybody else, but we have a national reputation. We're recognized. Yep. And they converted 17% more customers adding that brag book to the sales consultation. And that shows the real value. These people never even read the articles. They just saw the articles in this brag book as it was being going through it. And all of a sudden, they felt much more comfortable saying, yeah, we could save $600 going with this company, but I feel comfortable going with someone that, you know, all of these publications have written about. And, you know, that's another real valuable lesson here, that you're creating an asset that really is affecting your reputation, and you're really establishing yourself as industry leaders.
Very good. Let's switch gears just a little bit. Based on, you know, you grew your own company, you obviously believe in the idea of free media versus paid media. You do, obviously, you're big into podcasts. Obviously, you're here. That's part of your strategy. So is also video. I've seen through the years, you've done paid advertising with video for webinars and so forth. Tell me about some of the things you are doing with paid media. Obviously, maybe even using some of your own services, but I am most interested in the video aspect and what you're doing here.
Right. So I think that video is a natural progression of where people are moving. People used to get their content through newspapers and reading online. And I think that we're seeing in, like, you know, Facebook news feeds, video being more prevalent. I think with the prevalence of TikTok and other things, video is the progression of where we're going. I think in just a matter of years, the video press release is going to be something that people use, where there's a video component as well as print. Mm-hmm. And I think that already people are beginning to, you know, include B-roll and things like that. And some of it's getting utilized, but I think that some of the news organizations don't really know what to do with B-roll and things like that yet, from a copyright standpoint, because, you know, they want to own what they have on their CMS, on their website. And they haven't really made peace with that yet. But I think over the next few years, they will. And I think that video is going to be really prevalent, because I think that's a way in which we could just naturally speak to the other person. And I think that it's, you know, as close as we can get to face to face, you know, having a conversation with people. And, you know, for that reason, you know, I find video exciting. I like using it in paid advertising with Google. I love doing podcasts. It's a great way of educating. You know, podcasts are another form of media that is providing news and getting information out there. It's really amazing and exciting. And so I love video, and I have always been, you know, felt like I didn't have a face for video, but I just go with it and try to make the best of it. And I really feel comfortable now, you know, on screen and talking to people and having conversations.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, if somebody is interested in sending out releases, what would you suggest is the first step as we wrap this up?
Okay, so I would recommend that people go to ereleases.com/plan, P-L-A-N. It's a free masterclass I have where I have a video of about an hour where I talk through strategic types of press releases, the ones that do get picked up again and again, and go through that sort of an audit of your company and business through the lens of that video. And I have a feeling you'll walk away with like maybe a dozen ideas for press releases you could do. And these are going to be more meaningful press releases. So if you do a PR campaign of 6 to 8 releases and you work off of this, you're going to probably have more hits than misses. And you know, the worst thing you can do, I think, for building a PR campaign is look at what other people in your industry are writing about and sending out press releases about, because I guarantee you 95% of them aren't getting earned media. They're not getting media pickup. So again, visit ereleases.com/plan. That's completely free. I'm all about education. I get to see, you know, 10,000 releases a year. I get to see the patterns of the ones that get picked up again and again. And that's a great place for a beginner to start, because if you're open to using PR, it doesn't cost a lot of money. You could do a campaign of 6 releases for under $4,000 you know, potentially get many times that return just having one or two of those releases get, you know, picked up in a considerable way.
Very good. Any last thoughts, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the most important thing you said here, Mickey, and the biggest takeaway for our audience, you know, you own your business. Now it's time to own your story and use your story to help propel your business. And the best way to do that is to use a vehicle like ereleases. We're so happy to have you here today. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for being on the show.